you that our spiritual life begins here, not in heaven. You are a spirit. You're alive, ain't you? Are you a spirit? And you're alive, and you're on this earth. I mean, your spiritual life began right here on this earth. So where do we begin in this new faith realm to operate as faith beings? That's what you are. You are a faith being. We begin where God does. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ." That literally made you alive with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We begin our Christian life seated with Christ in heavenly places. So it is quite clear that Christians can never be under the circumstances, only deceived into thinking that they are. You're seated with Christ Jesus. You're seated in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. That's a place of very high authority. When you're at the right hand of the King, that's a position of extreme authority. That's why you can pray bold prayers. All you got to do is use the name of Jesus. Pray the word of God. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Every time you read those two verses, go down to verse 29. It said, "If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You're just going to have to settle this in your heart that you fell heir to Abraham's blessings the minute you got born again. And the only thing you can do is receive them. You cannot earn them. You're not talented enough. You're certainly not rich enough. You're not smart enough to earn these blessings. You can only receive them. That's why the first act of faith we have to learn how to get a hold of is to sit by faith. When we learn to sit by faith and receive what Christ has done for us, then we can start walking by faith. We're going to get to a little secret of that, but there's a couple things I want you to see. The Bible tells us that you've been made joint heirs with Christ Jesus. What does Jesus own? Absolutely everything. If you're a joint heir with him, that means you own absolutely everything. You've been given it. So how come we don't have absolutely everything? We haven't appropriated it by faith. But I've been asking for it for 10 years. We're going to get to that important key. I want you to see a few verses first. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. It says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. So we're not going to glory in the flesh. We're not going to glory in our own abilities. We're not going to count on our own talents to pull the thing over. We're not going to do that. You know, God can more than double your income in just 1 minute. You can work and work and work and work and work and work and work. And with the stroke of a pen, God can more than double your income. That fast. And you're not going to get it by begging for it. You're not going to get it because you need it. You're not going to get it because you want it. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, you know, that's past tense, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He already has. Well, why ain't I seeing it? Well, I'll tell you, brother, I've been bringing my tithes into the church for 30 years and I am still working my fingers to the bone. Well, stop working your fingers to the bone and start believing God. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to his riches, not out of his riches. This is important to understand. If he blesses you with $50,000, that's according to his riches. He still has room to bless me with $50,000 and bless you with $50,000 and you with $100,000. And it's not going to be out of his riches. See, if I bless you with $10, if I have $100, if I have $100 and I bless you with $10, I got $90. I blessed you out of my riches. But if God has $100 in his hand and he blesses you with $10, he still has $100. Because it's according to his riches. It's not out of his riches. So you don't have to be mad if somebody gets blessed. You don't have to sit there and look at them and say, man, I could have used that. Well, receive that. Don't get mad at somebody because they get blessed. Rejoice, because God's still in the blessing business. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Now, here's a key now. This is one of our keys. Circle this in your Bible. Or highlight it. This technology, I don't know if you can highlight it in your... 2 Peter 1, 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through... Here's your key now. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Didn't Jesus say take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He was giving us an idea. Learn of him. Our blessings are going to be through the knowledge of him. The more you know Jesus, the more of his life is going to flow into you. Amen. Now, I know people that can probably quote most of the money scriptures in the Bible, but they're not flowing in finances. Why? Because they know the money scriptures, they don't know Jesus. You know, there's a difference between memorizing the Bible and knowing Jesus. Man, it's good. You know, go to Philippians 4:19 and get that word, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's good to get that in your heart. It's more important to get Jesus into your heart. Let him, you know, people are like mice. They chase the blessing. They don't chase the blesser. You know, Big Mike, if he had a mouse and he put cheese in that mouse trap, that mouse is going to chase the blessing. And the mouse doesn't understand that he's going to get in a trap. People get in traps. They go to chasing the blessing. Well, that mouse would run to Big Mike, wiggle his nose. He might think, man, Big Mike might say, that's a cute little mouse. I'm going to keep you around. Who knows? When we go to the blesser, all the blessings are wrapped up in him. All of them. And you don't have to do any kind of weird things to make that blessing happen. Here's the key. How do we appropriate what is ours? We found out all these things have been given to us. We're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. But how do we appropriate this? How does this happen? Remember, we were talking about Lazarus a little while ago? Let's turn over there to John chapter 11, verse 41. And we'll, because Jesus gives a really big hot ticket answer here. John chapter 11. Huh? Well, okay. Well, Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over Wanda, and we ask that this thing be removed, that she can be free of this mess and get back to cooking cookies. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over Mike. Father, we thank you for the doctors that are going to make anointed decisions in this operation, that he's going to come through this operation healthy and whole in every way. Father, the healing time is going to be short and miraculous. And he's going to be free of that pain in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Believe in the power of the communion. This is a very powerful medicine that God gave us to take. It's a very powerful weapon for us. You know, one time, a couple of years ago, I woke up. Man, I was on fire. My back hurt bad. I was running a very high fever, and I couldn't breathe. And I was sitting on the chair and I thought, I said, well, something's got to give here, you know. I kind of choked in it a little bit, and I thought, man, if something doesn't happen, I'm going to have to do something. And so finally I came over here, and I took communion, and I preached that morning. And then I went back home and couldn't talk anymore. But believe in the power of the communion, the power of the body, and the power of the blood. He gave it to us for a reason. It's for our health. Paul said, if you discern the body of Christ, you can't expect to have health, because he said the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So if you do discern the body of Christ, you can expect to have health and healing in your body. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body. Take this often as you will. You know, you can do it once a month. You can do it once a week. You can do it every day. You can do it three times a day. I would suggest if you have a real serious challenge, get busy taking communion. You know, for $3, you can get on Joseph Prince Ministries and get his little booklet on the Holy Communion, so he can walk you through it. Gives you a really good revelation of what's going on. For $5, you can get a box of matzo bread. And for a couple bucks, you could get some grape juice. For $10, that's less than one pill that people take sometimes three times a day that the doctor tells them to take. And that's made from broken creation. This is made from the Creator. You know, when we discern the body of Christ, we look in there and we see that this bread is made without yeast. Yeast is symbolic of sin in the Bible. And Jesus' body was certainly without sin. And this bread has been beaten flat. He was beaten for us. He was bruised for us. And it has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes we were healed. And it's been pierced. Everywhere Jesus was pierced, he shed blood. And everywhere he shed blood, we got redemption in some area. And this bread is also slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus, and his body was broken. We're taking this for our health and our healing. We thank you for it. Jesus shed his blood all over the place. Not only does his blood wash away our sins, continually washes away our sins, but his blood has made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And his blood has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive grace and help in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Excuse me? Oh. Yeah.
Accept me now? And he said, well, yeah, but I deserve to, because I denied you all my life. You know, he said, well,
Yeah, that is. You know, people give up too easy. They really do. How many of you are absolutely convinced Biden's your president and that there's no recourse? There's nothing you can do. Be honest. Well, most of the people around say, well, it's too late. You know, and they may say, well, it's not, but all they can talk about is the primaries. So they gave up on Trump. You know, Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. That's pretty late. That's pretty late. But Jesus, and we're going to talk about this later, because it's a key to answered prayer and receiving your blessings. But Jesus went there and told him to come forth, and he came forth. You know, when you're dead 4 days, that's a long time. I mean, that's a long time. But there's been people all over the world that have been raised back from the dead. It's never too late for God. You know, we have these markers in our mind that decides when it's too late. You know, and we want everything now. You know, we got the internet, you know, so we can get an email in 2 minutes. And if it's 2.5 minutes, we're beside ourselves. Where's it at? Heaven forbid there should be a cloud and it goes a little bit slow. Your download takes 6 minutes to pop up. Did you forget when we used to go cut a little thing out of the magazine, you know, fill out a check, put it in the envelope, put a stamp on it, and it'd take a week and a half to get there, take them 3 or 4 days to fill the order, a week and a half to get back. I dare say most of America would have a complete mental meltdown if we had to go back to that system. But we have need of patience. We need to let patience have her perfect work. That's part of faith. We need to let patience have its perfect work. That means we're going to have to stand. You know, too many times we push a button. How many triple clickers do we have? Come on, be honest, man. You push the button, you click the mouse, and nothing happens. You click it again, and nothing happens. You click it again, and nothing happens. You click it again, and nothing happens. Pretty soon, everything happens, and you got 6 pages opened up on top of your computer. just be honest. We live in a hyper world. We want it. We want what we want, and we want it now. We need to just stop sometimes. and let patience have its perfect work. That means you're going to have to stand on the Word of God and watch over your prayers. Too many times we pray and people don't see something happen. They think, oh, well, it must not have been God's will. Or I did this wrong. Or this wasn't right. Or all the excuses. But just stop and believe God. Amen? Keep believing Him. Keep believing Him. You know, Jesus, when He cursed that fig tree, you don't see any account in the Bible of Him going and checking on that tree. You don't hear any account of Him talking about that tree. As a matter of fact, it tells us that the Bibles actually had to bring that tree to His attention. You know, He didn't ask His disciples, said, hey, how's that tree doing? No, He cursed it. That thing was toast. It was done. You know, David cursed a forest one time, and that thing went away. His enemies were hiding in that forest. I'm going to tell you something right now. Believe in the supernatural of God. If God could do supernatural acts in the Old Testament, how much more can He do them now in the New Testament? He stopped the sun. The sun stood still. Do you think that He's going to let some goofy looking little communist with dementia take over our country when there's millions of people around the world praying? If He honors the prayers of one woman to stop her son from going to hell, how much more will He honor the prayers of a church that has been praying around the world to keep this country free? Amen? Believe in the supernatural acts of God happening. And you're going to have to stop looking at the wind and the waves. You know, Peter jumped out of the boat. He was walking on the water. And the Bible says he seen the wind. Well, he didn't see the wind. He's seeing the effects of the wind. He's seen the waves. And he got afraid. What are our wind and waves? Our wind and our waves are these executive orders that Biden seems to be, you know, trying to undo everything Trump done. You know, you believed that Trump was God's man and they put him in office. Believe that Trump is still God's man. He has not turned his back on this nation. The wind and waves has this country in a panic. You know, we're back on the catch and release here. Amen. But it's not going to last. It's not going to last. The things that you can see are temporal. These natural things that you can see are temporal and subject to change with the Word of God. Amen. Now look at, let's go over here to Ephesians chapter 2. Well, we'll go we'll start. We'll just read this account here. Let's go to verse 28. When she had said, she went her way, called Mary her sister secretly, saying, "The master has come and calleth thee." As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goes unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if ye had been here, my brother had not died." One of the sorriest things you'll ever hear anybody say to anybody, said, "If you would have just came here and prayed." If you would have just done this. Now look what happened. He's dead. Well, look what Jesus said. Well, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. That was his friend. That was his friend. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. You know, sometimes people say things to me, and it causes me to sigh, you know, or you know, I groan, you know, inside of it. Because it's heavy on my spirit. You know, people that should know better say some of these most rotten things. And then they wonder why I sigh. Because it's a heavy hit sometimes. Instead of getting in faith, start filling the air without unbelief. Oh, I'm not mad at them. It's just sometimes words, they don't understand what words do sometimes. But just carry on here. Verse 38 says, "Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave." It was a cave, and a stone lay in it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinks, for he's been dead 4 days." 4 days. Why 4 days? Because they figured after 3 days, the body would see corruption. See, Jesus' body did not see corruption. But the Jews, see, Jesus was meddling with their religion. The Jews figured that when you lay the man in his grave, that his spirit hung around for 3 days and then went away. So she said, "He's been in there 4 days." She was trying to tell the creator of heaven and earth, "This guy's spirit went away. What are you going to do about it?" So that he stinks. He stunk when he was on earth. He's been in there 4 days. He's really going to stink. People are always trying to explain to God why it's too late for them. You know, the doctor said, just shut up about the doctor. Well, CNN said, I don't care what CNN said. The Bible tells us, do not be deceived by lying signs and wonders. You know something? There was a guy in Spain that watched the inauguration 10 hours before we did. I'm going to invite a man to church. I can't remember what they call it, but you know, we got this thing called critical thinking down here, and that's socialism. And he knows how to debunk that. This guy's a very intelligent man and a Christian. Critical thinking or socialism has absolutely no place in Christianity. No room for that in Christianity. But he's going to be around here in a couple weeks, and you really need to come see this guy. It's imperative that you learn some of this stuff. You know, I remember, how much did you learn when the guy that studied Islam came and taught us about the fallacies of Islam and what the truth about Islam is? Some people got mad. Democrats. They got mad and they stormed out of the school. We're not going to do that. We learned a lot that day, didn't we? This guy will teach a lot here, too, and you'll see how some of this critical thinking has infiltrated America. And how some church groups have gotten swept up in this mess. Amen? But I told you we're going to get to a key. We're going to keep digging here. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto you, that if thou would believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted his eyes and said, circle this. In your Bible, take your favorite crayon and circle this. Don't ever lose it. I thank you that you have heard me. I thank you. That's how you receive your blessings. Hold those. Now ask me for those glasses. Go ahead, ask me for those glasses.
Ask you for the glasses?
No, ask me for those glasses.
Thank you for the glasses.
No, I said ask you. Ask me for those glasses.
You want these glasses?
No, ask me for those glasses. Can I have these glasses?
Can I have these glasses?
You've got them. Ask me again. Ask me again. You have them in your hands. Ask me again. See, it sounds stupid, doesn't it? But people do it all the time. Father, can I have finances to meet my needs this month? Father, can I have healing in my body this month? Father, can I have a car? Father, can I have a wife? Father, can I have this? Father, can I have that? Didn't he just go through and say, he's given you all things freely with Christ Jesus? Say, thank you, Father, for supplying all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, and I through his poverty have been made rich. Thank you, Father, for his stripes that have healed me this day. Amen? Praise God. See, it seems kind of simple-minded when we put it naturally like that, where we can just sit there and see it. He could see that it obviously had my glasses in his hands. And it seems stupid for him to keep asking me for them glasses. It sounded outlandish, didn't it? But God has already placed it in your hands. And people keep asking for it because they'll believe it when they see it. You'll receive it when you believe it. Amen? Remember, God calls those things that aren't as though they were. I mean, we're going to take his word. And we're going to say, thank you, Father, for supplying all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Even though you broke the piggy bank 2 weeks ago and your wallet's still empty, you're going to say, thank you, Father, for the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, and I through his poverty have been made rich. Amen? We just have to sometimes stop and look and make sure we're not trying to put a square peg into a round hole. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Jesus thanked his way into miracles. He took a boy's sack lunch and blessed it. Thanked the Father for it. And fed thousands. It's with a thankful heart. It's with a thankful heart that you'll receive these blessings through the knowledge of him. See, you'll have to learn what he has, what he's given you. You'll have to learn that. Amen? Go out there and let them know. Ron, go out there and let them know they can come in if they want. It's with a thankful heart that we receive these blessings. We thank our way into these blessings. But you got to know what you've already been given in order to receive it with a thankful heart. So means you're going to have to open that Bible up. You're going to have to open it up, look in there, and see what's yours. That's part of sitting by faith. Now we got that key down. We get taught when we got it in our hands physically to thank him for it. That means when you see it and you got it in your hands, you thank him for it. Well, of course you do. You thank him for it. But you thank him for it before you see it because he's already given it to you. If you believe it, you'll thank him for it. Amen? It'll free your heart up when you start this. When you see it. When you see it with your eye. Not this one. This side. When you see it with your eye. You'll take a breath and you'll say, you're right in front of me. If it was a snake, it would have bit me. So we appropriate what rightfully belongs to us in Christ Jesus by faith. By faith, we accept or receive that we are who the Word says we are in Christ, and that we have what the Word says we have in Christ. We count it so in our own life, whether we fully understand it or not. This is the first vital step into a life of faith. Well, I sound so goofy, sitting there telling myself that I'm healed. I sound so goofy, sitting there telling myself that I'm already rich in Christ Jesus. Do you sound goofy or do you sound heavenly? Have you ever thought about that? God told Joshua to meditate on His Word day and night. You know, God took Abram and changed his name to Abraham, so Abraham had to meditate on His Word day and night. He had to call himself the father of many nations. Everybody he met, he'd have to tell him, I'm the father of many nations, even though he hadn't had one single kid. I imagine he got a little frustrated, so he went and tried to do it on his own and came up with Ishmael. We've all birthed an Ishmael at some point in time. We've all done that. We've all decided, well, I'm going to help God out, and I'm going to do this on my own, and look what happened. But you know, for 25 years, Abraham had called himself the father of many nations. I suppose he had that conversation with himself. Man, I sound goofy. Well, do you sound goofy or do you sound heavenly? You may sound goofy to the world, but who cares what the world says? They're crazy. Half of them voted for Bernie and half of them voted for Biden. Don't measure yourself according to the world. Measure yourself according to the Word. The Word says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Word says that you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us to meditate on His Word day and night. So, why would it be so goofy to say, thank you, Father, by His stripes I was healed? That's not crazy talk. That's thanking Him for something that He did 2,000 years ago. And you just appropriated it by faith. Understanding. Understanding will follow when we accept the Word of God simply by faith. We make the decision to count God's Word as absolute and final authority in our life, and the Heavenly Father assumes the responsibility to bring it to pass. The woman with the surfer son, she was applying God's Word on his behalf. She was his intercessor. You know, there's a place called the gap. That's God's appointed place. That's God's appointed place. You know, God looked at the wall one time. He was looking for somebody that would pray for the people. And He didn't see anybody. He said, there's nobody on the wall. There's nobody at God's appointed place. There's nobody in the gap standing in between the people and the trouble. And she didn't give up. And Jesus honored that. Amen? And it's not too late for God. Well, can't you see how things are going? Didn't the Bible say we're not supposed to look at things? You know, these five natural senses that we're so used to dealing with. We're not supposed to rely on all those all the time. The world calls this thing inside of us the sixth sense. Yeah. He's not sixth sense, he's Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. When you get born again, you're supposed to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And he's not going to tell you to build your life on what you can see, smell, touch, taste, hear. That means you can just pretty much debunk whatever CNN says, MSNBC, ABC, NBC. And those fact checkers. Look, one thing you have to learn to do in life is follow the money. Whoever's standing in front of you is a representative of somebody else. Find out where they're getting their directives from. Find out who's given the marching orders. You'll find out the Hollywood and most of the mainstream media and a whole bunch of the politicians are getting their orders from China, the one percenters. So they're getting their orders from the father of lies. Are you going to believe the father of lies? That's Satan. No. You're going to believe the Word of God. Amen. So we take our place, seated in Christ Jesus, in the heavenlies, by faith, resting in Him, knowing we are just exactly where and who He says we are. You know, people are emotional beings. You have these emotions because you have a soul. You have a soul. That means you have these emotions. But that's not your spirit. That's your intellect that gets monkeyed around with when you see false information. And it has an effect on you. And what it does is it'll cause fear. That spirit of fear will cause you to get emotional. And that spirit of fear will jump at you. But fear is a spirit. And you tell that spirit to get in the name of Jesus. Most people try to do it by positive thinking. They're just playing mental basketball with themselves. You've got to fight those thoughts with the Word. So you have to say something out of your mouth. You have to use the Word of God. Look, folks, if Jesus had to tell the devil, it is written. It is written. It is written. What makes you think you're going to think positively and get him to go away? It's not going to happen. You've been created in the likeness of God, in His very image. You are a spirit. And you have to tell the devil, in the name of Jesus, go away. Tell the spirit of fear, in the name of Jesus, go away. But you're going to have to get your mouth in gear. You're going to anyway. You're going to say something. People are always saying something. Always. You just will say what God says. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your words. We praise you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, we thank you for that spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. And most importantly, Father, you've given us Jesus, our covenant head. He died on the cross for our sins. And you raised him back to life. And we confess him to be Lord. That means we are saved. We believe it in our hearts. Father, we thank you for everything that Jesus did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, we thank you for that shed blood of Jesus that continually cleanses us from all sin. And we thank you, Father, for that shed blood of Jesus that made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus so that we can boldly go into the throne room of grace. Because of the shed blood of Jesus, we can receive grace and mercy in time of need. And we can have our answers prayed. We can have our prayers answered. A little dyslexic. Yeah, we can have our prayers answered. Because we use the name of Jesus and we use the word of God. We can operate in this kingdom the way you designed us to, faith creatures. Faith creatures that are blessed looking for a place to happen. We're a blessing looking for a place to cause a blessing. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.